This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley, editor and publisher of the City Wire, covering news, entertainment, politics, culture, and more for the KUAF listening area. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm well.
First of all, let me say happy anniversary. You guys celebrated your fourth anniversary yesterday?
Yes, we did. November 1st, 2008, we rolled this little City Wire thing out, and we've been doing it for 4 years.
Can you believe it?
Well, no, it seems like one long day. I hope at some point I get to go to bed. No, we've enjoyed it, and we appreciate very much all the advertisers and sponsors and readers. Our traffic continues to grow. We're up a little over 30% on our visitors for the first 9 months of the year of 2012. So just keeping our fingers crossed. Just keep your head down and work hard.
Sounds like a good plan. Now, part of over the last couple of years, actually this year, you guys expanded your coverage from the River Valley to include Northwest Arkansas as well. And you have some jobless rate numbers for me this morning for both areas.
Yes. The good news is in Northwest Arkansas, the jobless rate fell below 5%. It hit 4.9%. That's the first time since November 2008 that the rate has been below 5% in Northwest Arkansas.
Maybe it has something to do with your anniversary celebration.
No. Yeah, I'd like to take credit for that. But it's a trend across the state. All of the eight metro areas that are in or connected to Arkansas had jobless rate declines in September. Unfortunately, in Northwest Arkansas, the rate's still pretty high. It was at 7.6%. Mm-hmm. The good thing with both markets is that the number of unemployed continues to fall month over month and year over year. So, we'll just keep our fingers crossed that these numbers come down. I'm a little surprised in the Fort Smith area that the numbers I guess another way to look at that is the metro jobless rate in the Fort Smith area is good considering the number of manufacturing losses we've suffered in the last
right.
2 to 5 years.
Right, with Whirlpool and all of that.
Right. So it's holding its own. Now, you know, that doesn't tell the whole picture. You know, are we replacing, those good-paying manufacturing jobs with lower-paying service sector jobs? You know, that will come out in income data about a year from now.
Okay, so a year from now we can look at that.
Right. Doesn't do us any good now.
But. No, but something to look forward to.
Right.
Arkansas Best Corporation, they have reported their third quarter numbers.
Yes, at least they were positive. But Arkansas Best, which is a less-than-truckload company, it's one of the largest less-than-truckload carriers in the country.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep, based here in Fort Smith. They reported a third-quarter income of $6.5 million. It's down from the $12.3 million they reported in the same period of 2011. The good news is, though, they're back in black, so to speak. Mm-hmm. For the first 9 months of the year, they're on the positive side of the income rather than the negative side. So, they were at this time last year, they were almost $5 million in the hole, and this year they're ahead just a little bit. But the revenue is up. But this is just a function again of the slow freight environment, the tough freight environment around the country. You know, the American Trucking Association, they put out a truck tonnage index, mm-hmm. And the index has just been relatively flat for the whole year, and it basically measures freight demand. And their September increase was the smallest year-over-year gain in almost 3 years. So it's tough. Arkansas Best is in the middle of will begin union negotiations December 18th. They've had trouble with the unions, and they, you know, they've cut costs everywhere they can. But they just can't cut on those union contracts, so they hope to get a little bit of expense relief from that. But the unions are saying, hey, you know, we have good drivers providing good service, and they deserve all the pay they get. So that'll be an interesting drama to watch as it unfolds.
How long do those negotiations usually take? Is that something that's done in
well,
a day?
Their contract expires at the end of March next year, so they're going to want, you know, neither party can afford a shutdown. So they'll either have it secured by then or they'll secure some form of extension, I would think.
Okay. Now, we do have some listeners in Oklahoma, and I know you guys cover some things there as well. In Oklahoma, their open carry law went into effect yesterday.
Yes. You know, this kind of snuck up on us. We'd covered it earlier when they had when Oklahoma had passed the bill. But yes, it's if you're walking around Oklahoma, you know, and you just happen to see non-uniformed or non-police officer folks walking around with a sidearm, you know, in a holster or whatever, don't be alarmed. That's now legal. There are some exceptions. I mean, and you have to have a concealed weapon permit. I mean, you have to go through the process. Not just anyone can carry it.
Right.
But, you know, and you can't carry it into schools and businesses that don't allow it. There's still some of those rules. But, yes, it's went into effect November 1st. There are an estimated 141,000 residents in Oklahoma who have the right now to do this. And I think that's going to increase. Oklahoma officials have said they've estimated about a 40% increase in the number of residents who've applied for some form of a weapons permit since the law was passed. So, and the state's one of 44 that allows some kind of open carry law. But, you know, and then this is a big issue. There are some groups around who really see carrying a weapon as a constitutional right, and they don't think that they need a law to allow them to do that. But that's a different conversation altogether.
Well, what initially spurred getting this bill passed?
Was there a
specific incident or something?
No, it's just that there are several groups around the country who they try this in every state. In 2011, there was an attempt tried by Representative Denny Altus of Fort Smith to get a bill, similar bill, passed in Arkansas, and it never made it out of committee. So, yeah, I would be surprised if we don't see some form of a bill like this proposed in this upcoming legislative session in Arkansas.
Now, on the City Wire, you guys cover lots of things, but you do have some guest commentators. Now, Cameron Smith had an interesting story for you guys this week.
Yes, it's a great history in about 1,000 words of the shifts that we've seen in the supplier community in terms of their history. You know, one of the there are roughly 6,000 people working in Northwest Arkansas who are suppliers who support, you know, essentially Walmart. And Cameron Smith does a great job of walking through what the skill sets will be needed now to help Walmart as it grows. You know, he talks about how a few years ago Walmart, you know, their main competitor was Target, and then it kind of moved to Dollar General, and now it's Amazon.
Really?
Yes, and so he says if the way that you worked with Walmart and helped them if you were a supplier in the past is going to change. And he talks about the millennial generation. You know, anyone born between 1980. He says anyone born between 1980 and 2000. Well, by 2025, those people will make up 75% of the workforce and 75% of the workforce of the Walmart supplier community. Those folks are more digital oriented. I mean, obviously we know they're walking around with two or three mobile devices, but he walks us through, there was a proximity relationship with Walmart, then there was a data relationship, then the insight relationship, and now it's a digital relationship. And he sees that happening at least out till 2020. So anyone even remotely curious about that, the evolving relationship between Walmart and its suppliers, I think they'll find this guest commentary very interesting.
All right. Well, again, congratulations on your 4 years of the City Wire. All the best in the future. And as always, thank you for your updates on these Fridays.
Well, you're welcome. And I enjoy it and enjoy working with you and Kyle. That helps get the City Wire word out. So thanks and have a good weekend and go Hogs.
Yes, go Hogs. And thank you. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which covers news, entertainment, politics, culture, and more for Northwest Arkansas and the Arkansas River Valley.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, I air the long-awaited interview with Ernest Guitar Roy. He talks about his influences growing up in the Delta, his new CD, and he even plays a track for us here in the KOF studios. That's the Generic Blues Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.